Hey guys, Footy Focus Podcast, episode 13, recording on Tuesday, 8th of June, second week of lockdown here, joined by my co-host Shahan. How are you going?
Yeah, good, Shanika, and hopefully our last episode for a while, hopefully back in studio next week.
And bit of breaking news on Twitter, Ben McKay signed for 2 years.
Yeah, I saw that, so it's good. I think a longer contract might have been a bit more comfortable, but maybe his management will just push to see if he improves any more.
Yeah, I think a bit like a Darcy Moore situation, just get a couple of All-Australian years and then get the big 4, 5, 6 year contract maybe.
Yeah, so we had the mid-season draft, so we might just kick off with that last Wednesday.
It was
okay, yeah, it was pretty quick. It wasn't as, it didn't drag on like the national draft.
Yeah, I was listening to, I was in the car actually on the way to shopping and they had, it was on SEN, the live, not live picks, but they just recapped, I think the top 10-ish picks.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously, Roos, your boys had the number one pick. So who did you select?
So as expected, it was Jacob Edwards. So the big 202-centimeter ruck forward. So he compares himself to sort of someone like Max Gawn, or would like to model his game on that. He's still doing school, so I think school's a priority for him. So he said, and he's, I don't know if he's going to play school footy or NAB League or VFL, but I think the club will give him the time he needs. He's pretty light on, so wouldn't expect him to debut this year. But we'd be around the club when he doesn't have school.
Yeah, it's obviously once school finishes, you can, I guess, fully focus on footy. And where do you think, I guess, his best position is? Because he looks forward, ruck,
probably a bit of ruck. Not sure. You never know with these kind of things. I mean, he could end up developing into a fullback. Who knows? They do that, don't they? Like they forwards become back and that sort of thing. So looks like ruck forward might be his go. So we have Sherry doing pretty well as well in the VFL, so it's going to be interesting. I did see an article, I think Cal Jimmy put it up, saying if we were able to trade mid-season draft picks, should we have traded that with someone like Gold or Greater Western Sydney and got in like another pick around 10 in the national draft or pick one in the rookie draft?
Yeah, so Cal Toomey from the AFL website, so he suggested that, I guess, in future you could trade mid-season draft picks for the national draft picks. You think that's something that's going to happen in the future?
I don't know. I can't see it happening, to be honest, because you're trading rookie picks for national draft picks. So there's a bit of an imbalance there. And only the first couple of mid-season picks are going to be valuable. I don't think anything after that's going to be worth much. And this was sort of a one-off year where there were high-quality 19-year-olds. So it's probably one, but it's, I don't know, it's an interesting thing about. So if GWS offered their first rounder, knowing that they have got Collingwood there as pick two, so if they offered their pick 10, I wouldn't really mind. I probably would have done it. So just to get another high-quality midfielder in at that pick 10 rather than another tall ruckman, which we already have. Just an interesting hypothetical.
I mean, I guess the Roos addressed the need because the glaring, I guess, hole since Ben Brown left is key forward. And obviously, Goldstein's coming towards the end too. So I think you feel the need there. And I think that was the strategy from Rawlings, right? Target midfielders first and then key forwards next.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm not unhappy with it. So just got to let them develop. So moving on to our second pick, it was Charlie Ham. So he's got his brother playing at Essendon, who kicked 3 goals on the weekend, by the way. Charlie's a small defender midfielder from the Geelong Falcons. He's good friends with Charlie Lazaro as well. He's a clean ball user and he's smart in traffic. Good athlete. Endurance and impact are his strengths, as well as he runs both ways. So that's all we need, someone who can tackle and chase and do that sort of thing. So he needs to work on his accumulation and strength, apparently. But if he can become good, he could be that small forward pocket defender we've been crying out for.
you think he gets a game this year, or is it more likely to be 2022?
Oh, he could, potentially. He looks okay in terms of build, so and he's same sort of age as Will Phillips and Lazaro and these sort of guys. So looking at our injury list, I wouldn't be surprised if he gets a run later on in the year. But, yeah, what about Port? You guys had one pick.
Yeah, so Jed McEntee, so 176-centimetre midfielder from Sturt in the Sandful. He was part of their SA's under 18 championship winning team with Jackson Mead and Charles Schofield, fellow father son picks at the club already. So he won the best emerging talent after playing every game last year, played every game this year so far, and averages 19 disposals and 4 clearances. But looking from his highlights, I think tackling and breakaway speed are his strengths. Don't think he gets into the team this year unless there's more injuries, but I think he definitely adds to the midfield mix. We're a bit inside heavy with Wines, Boak and Drew and probably Rockliffe too. So probably more next year too.
Yeah, it's a good pick, I think. You can never have too many small forwards, it seems like these days, with Richmond and now Melbourne with Pickett and Charlie Spargo being that blueprint. And even you look at Brisbane with Bailey and Cameron. So if he can get a few games towards the end of the year, could be anything. Speaking of Richmond, they picked up Matthew Parker, who was the only ex-AFL player to get picked. So there was a lot that didn't get picked, like Wiley Buzzer and now Nathan Freeman. But could he be the next Marlon Pickett?
Yeah, potentially. Like, he's coming off, BOG performance against the Eagles reserves. It was good timing, but you're not sure where he plays. Maybe him and Josh Caddy might be vying for a place, but I don't think the Tigers picked him to play next year. I think they've picked him with the intention of playing him this year if opportunities arise. So wouldn't be surprised to see him play, but I don't think he's going to make a debut in a grand final. I think they'd want to get games into him before then.
And it was 22 players selected last week, and every club played the maximum players they picked was 2. I think St Kilda had 4 going in, 4 picks, but they only used 2. And 6 ruckmen were selected. So I think clubs are going into the season with 1 less ruckman.
Yeah.
And then if they need, they just use this as a way to top up.
Yeah, I think Gold Coast in particular, they've lost, Witts, and I think a few others as well. So, Gold Coast use that loophole to pick up a ruck.
Yeah, not sure why Fremantle didn't pick any players. And we know the injury list is long, but even before this weekend, so that was surprising.
So, some of the talking, we went to the talking points. So the biggest news today, I guess, was you got leaked that Adam Goods rejected his Hall of Fame nomination. So he's 5 years after retirement, unanimously voted in up in his first year of eligibility. So leaked in the papers, and then the AFL Commission Chairman, Richard Goyder, acknowledged that was true and, just apologised unreservedly again to Goods for not doing enough to quiet racism and treatment towards him in his last few years. So with that, I think we talked about Goods a fair bit the first 2 years of the pod. Do you think it's fair from his side to reject it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think the AFL as an organisation have done enough to address his sort of, what's the word, his concerns or dissatisfactions. And I think this is a cheap move, the obvious move for them to make to sort of make good with him, whereas I think they could be doing a lot more than, all Australia and, do something to... I don't know, with the Indigenous community or kids or set up a foundation. I don't know if there's a foundation. It's probably is, right?
Maybe make him an ambassador or something. But, retired in 2015. I think Dylan McLaughlin unreservedly apologised in 2019. So that's 4-year gap. Another 2-year gap to this one and nothing really in between. So it wouldn't have been a surprise when he rejected it. He didn't do the lap of honour, the grand final parade after his retirement as well. So, just really sad because I think probably in the end he'll probably, career warrants a legend elevation too, not just the normal Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so two-time Brownlow medalist in the ruck in the midfield, premiership player twice and four-time All-Australian. So yeah, hopefully, yeah, he does get inducted, which means he's accepted it, and I think AFL has made good with him then.
Yeah, but there's a lot of steps. Like, for him to say yes, I think the AFL needs, it'll take a few years, like maybe a decade longer. But they got to do something, yeah, like give back to the community or address, get racism, do something to get like racism and stuff out of the game and in, out of general public. Yeah, not just make, not just this. I think it's, yeah, not good enough.
Yeah, great. Yeah, hopefully there's, yeah, resolution to the Madison and some progress. So there's no game reviews this week. Both our teams had the bye.
Yeah, what'd you do?
Didn't watch a bit of footy on the Friday night. The Melbourne Lions game was pretty good. Watched a bit of the Tigers, and didn't really catch much footy apart from that. How about you?
Yeah, caught a little bit here and there. I watched a bit of the Kangaroos VFL game as well, the one we beat Essendon. I watched the first half, actually. I need to finish watching the second half. But yeah, Sherry and Will Phillips were good. They weren't too dominant as yet in the first half. But it's a good game.
It's good to get. That's probably the second win from the VFL team this season. Two wins.
It was the first, actually. It was the first. Yeah. So James Hurd's son was playing. He's pretty average. Harry Cunningham for the Kangaroos was good. He's only not on our list, but he was very quick. Doesn't use the ball, huh?
Maybe not
Harry Cunningham, but there was another Cunningham. Sorry.
Similar to the Swans player, not better relation.
Maybe. and so with the Melbourne game, Melbourne defeat Lions. Who cares about the margin? But they just beat us. Yeah, I thought Pickett and Bailey were sort of the best players, maybe not the best players, but the most influential after Petrarca, maybe. And they could make All Australian, both of them.
Yeah, I think they're like at the moment. If the team was picked now, I think they'd both get picked because Bailey's a goal kicking mid kick. I think three or four against the Tigers too, so he's kicking goals in big games. Pickett, I think, had six scoring shots too, so. D's, I think, clearly number one flag contender. Yeah, down early in the wins against the Tigers and the Lions, I think it was a 42-point turnaround. So they're the team to beat at the moment, but a long way to go. And, yes.
The Saints, got defeated by the Swans. So this game was played in Sydney, and it was just accuracy that cost the Saints. Higgins kicked one goal, six. Really should have probably won that game.
Yeah, so probably the best player on the day apart from those. I know I saw the last two missed shots, which probably could have won the game if he kicked one of them. And, the Swans, I think finals locked. They're three games ahead of the Bombers in ninth. So, it's a great turnaround from the last few years where they've been out of September.
Yeah, they've got a lot of young talent. Their leaders stand up. Kennedy was good again. Mm-hmm. Park is always consistent. And to Adelaide, they got beaten by the Pies. So it was a bit of an upset win. Pies play well interstate. Yeah. And the youngsters are sort of showing something with Caleb Poulter showing really good form and Bianco backing up his debut with another good performance.
Yeah, Poulter looks, great size on him too. Like he's, really tall wingman. And he was really impressive against Port as well when I went to that a couple of weeks ago. Pies ball movement, looking at the highlights, they just moved the ball a bit quicker. And I think Elliott definitely helped. Six goals in his first game back since round two. So hopefully they can play a bit more enterprising like that game.
Yep. And Dreamtime game, it was in the West. It was a good game, actually. Like Essendon, they did hit the front halfway through that last quarter. And then I did tip him, so I was happy about my tip. But then Tigers just clicked into gear and Bolton, Martin, they just stood up and won them the game. Sort of 10 goals, like 7 goals in like 10 minutes, which is crazy. I think Nick Cox has once hand on the Rising Star Award, 23 touches and a goal and like 5 or 6 marks. Do you think the Rising Star, the weekly nominations, is a bit of a it's a marketing thing, isn't it? It's not really.
Yeah, because he wasn't nominated this time last week. I think he's got nominated for that performance, but I think that's probably it. He could have had three or four more performances which would have warranted him that. So maybe, I don't know, do a couple a week if there's two great performances instead of waiting for the next good performance because, Cox is the number one contender and he hadn't got nominated at round 12, which doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Like, why does it have to be just one and, like, 20, you're picking from a pool of 22? Because not everyone in the 22 gets votes. You might get, like, only, like, six or seven actually get votes at the end of the year. Carlton was probably the most disappointing loss of the weekend. They got rolled by West Coast up in Sydney. So it was West Coast's first win up there since 99.
Not surprising given their away form. And, the Blues are 0-7 against top eight teams. So 4-8 at the moment. And, miles off the top eight at the moment.
Yeah, at the moment, yeah. So, but development is not always linear. So you can sort of there's peaks. I already call it. It's like a roller coaster sometimes. So it could all come together and they could do what Melbourne's doing now. They need to change. Maybe their culture. Maybe get Paul Roos in to fix them up.
Yeah, sneak. Yeah, getting away from the Roos.
And finally, Fremantle were defeated by the Bulldogs. It was a close-ish game, but the Bulldogs just had too much class in the end, and Freo, couldn't. They were just injured, weren't they?
Yeah, Fife, Darcy, and Cox, I think, all injured within 2 minutes, and I think the sub was not none of those players. They already had a player off. So, injury ravages as well. And with the Dogs, they're probably the number two contender. Do you think they have a weakness at the moment?
I reckon just their defense is probably the only thing. Key defender. They just one key defender short. So I don't know if they start to address that now or like the Revolt, the Lynch. He or Danaher gonna get them at the pointy end.
Yeah, I think Bruce and Norton both have the ability to play back, but as you said, they haven't tried it out at round 12. So maybe they're just relying on their midfield to continue their dominance.
Yeah, which isn't bad. Their midfield's one of the best. So.
Yeah. So your boys, the Roos, hosting GWS in Hobart this Sunday.
Yeah, so GWS will go there a day early and then we'll go there on the day and then fly out on the day because they're Victorian. So in terms of team selection, I think McDonald and Polak, they're probably a couple of weeks away, but I'd like to see Hayden and Tarrant come back from injury. And I think Stevenson's guaranteed to come back from his wrist injury and Sherry to be rewarded. I'd have young Josh Walker, Campbell and Menadu getting they got demoted. Maybe a bit harsh on Walker and Campbell. I think they've been okay. But I think maybe towards the back end of the year, Noble should try to rotate players a bit more, especially the young ones. So, I want to see Mackay and Tarrant to make that spine. And then in the other end, Larky and Cherry to be the two key forwards and have so Zerha, Stevenson, Marnie, these just sort of guys at their feet.
Yeah.
So both teams are coming off a bye and GWS, they're going to be missing Hogan, Taylor, Perryman and Coniglio.
Yeah. So I guess with GWS, so who's likely to return for them?
Yeah, I saw an article before and they said Davis and Matt DeBoer look fit to come back. And if Green gets through contact drill, he was likely to come in as well. But he's probably their most important player and could be the difference with them winning or losing. Having a look, I looked at their stats from their past game where they beat West Coast at home. And the midfield was just on top and killing it. So Kelly, Taranto, Cal Ward had 29 possessions in that game. And Hopper and Tom Green was probably the best on ground. So that's an elite midfield, and the Kangaroos midfield is going to have their work cut out if we're to get on top of that. Whitfield's back in good form, and Ash is developing nicely with 20 touches and 95% disposal efficiency, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think it's been one of the benefits of the injuries, right? The likes of Ash has got, yeah, opportunity to play game time. And yeah, it looks like Toby Green might come back in, so would Noble send someone to him?
Yeah, I think Turner might be a good matchup. Like, he's similar height. It's got a bit of aggression, and he's been playing that tagging defensive role. So I'd definitely have Turner looking after Green. Matt DeBoer probably go to Cunnington, as he usually does. But if he can negate Cunnington, I think that'll go a long way to them winning. But I feel like if we're to win, it's got to be our defense that's to stand up and trying to transition through the middle. That's going to be the key. I think we'll lose the midfield battle, so the ball will be in our defensive half a lot. So, especially if we get Tarrant and guys like Hayden. Who else is there? Like, at least Evil, because they can rebound efficiently and get it into our forward line and put their young defense under pressure. Because they're missing, like, Taylor and Davis might not play. So
yeah.
Their forward line and their defense are a little bit young. So if we can exploit that, then we could maybe win.
Yeah, so with Mo Hogan, Finlayson, and him will become the number one, I guess, options outside of Green.
Yeah. They're the experienced sort of guys in the forward line. So they've got Sproul, Riccardi, Hill as inexperienced players, but our back line's still a little bit undermanned and inexperienced as well, even though it's a little bit older. So maybe someone like Hall might have to play a bit more defensively. It'll be interesting, I think. And midfield-wise, I think Davis Uniacke will be looking to sort of take on one of their best midfielders, maybe like a Kelly, if he can negate him and keep him accountable. But in saying that, Kelly did have 8 tackles in this last game. So, but it could be a learning experience thing as well, because they have sort of similar styles. Simpkin and Thomas should sort of go up against Hopper and Taranto. But I think, yeah, GWS midfield is just too battle-hardened and a bit too strong for us in there. So a lot is going to be left up to Cunnington.
Yeah. So how do you think the boys are going to go?
But we'd like playing down in Tasmania. So we lost our game against Melbourne down there, but that was still a pretty good performance. So we might be with them until 3/4 time, but I think the class of GWS will be a little bit too strong in the end.
100%.
Yeah, and then we'll move on to the Port game. So you guys host Geelong in a couple of nights, actually, so not long.
Yeah. Back to Thursday night footy for the first time in 7 or 8 weeks. So, yeah, hosting at 8 Oval. So, Geelong players have been in hard quarantine from Monday at 5 p.m. So, only allowed out to train until they, come back to Melbourne. So, with the Cats, the Dangers potentially back. I think they might give him another week off. But if he does play, I think Drew goes to him at stoppages and Jonas up forward. You need big bodies on him. Wherever he plays. And Blitzarves, Guthrie, Myers, O'Connor, and Simpson are all likely to return too. So Scott might not bring in all 5 back. He might bring in 3 just to stagger it a bit. But it looks like they'll have close to their best 22.
What about you guys? Do you have any force changes or are they just omitted?
Yeah, I think Burden had subbed out with injury. I think he's been cleared to play. The rest of the injury list is a few weeks away, likes of Dersma and Butters and Cleary. So Scott Lysett's back after a 4-week suspension. With the bye, it's 5 weeks off. So I think Laddams has to play to kind of give him a chop out after 5 weeks of no football. So I think Marshall is the unlucky omission. Georgiadis is just performing better and he's more active in the game, just more touches, affects more contest as well.
Yeah, and Hartlett, did you mention him? Is he going to return?
Yeah, I think he's back after a week off. Need Yeah, Fantasia's out for a few weeks, so need him and Darcy Byrne-Jones to support the key backs in the air because, yeah, Geelong's forward line's pretty dangerous. So no Cleary. I think McKenzie goes to Hawkins again like the final last year. Lear to Cameron, Burton to Rowan, and, yeah, Jonas to Danger up forward. So a lot falls to the likes of your Hartlett and Darcy Byrne-Jones to, yeah, support the key tools. Henderson versus Dixon's a big matchup. Big game for Charlie to perform against a top four team. Hasn't really done it this season and last, to be honest, as well. If Mark O'Connor's back, I think he goes to Wines. He's, yeah, doing really well in a tagging role. So that'll be a good test for Wines. Hasn't got tagged really this year. Boak and Selwood's probably the obvious matchup in the centre. And, yeah, just probably the biggest game of our season so far. Failed against Eagles, Lions and Dogs after beating the Tigers, who were pretty injury ravaged. So, yeah, with the Lions lost last week, we can go one game clear of in third. So pretty crucial. I think first and second are pretty much locked up, two games, or at least, yeah, two or three games ahead of third, fourth and the rest.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, this is a game that will determine the rest of your season. Win this and you're going to set yourself up for that top four finish. But if you lose, I think you can almost rule yourselves out of that double chance. Yeah, Selwood's in really good form as well. I think you're going to have to look at him because we know what he's capable of. He uses the ball so well. But yeah, I think you guys should be up for this. Geelong's preparation is going to be a little bit different than usual with having to isolate in over here and then go over there. But yeah, I think you guys will have enough firepower to get over Geelong. I don't say that with too much confidence. Geelong, they're pretty good side away as well. So.
Yeah, I think, I mean, their midfield bats a lot deeper than ours. So yeah, the likes of Houston and Drew and Paul Pepe need to have bigger games and support Wines and Boak.
Mm-hmm. So we haven't seen the best of Sean Higgins yet, I think, for the Cats. So maybe he can get off the chain and key a couple and be influential. But it should be a good game and I'll definitely be watching it.
Yeah, he's due. And move on to some under-recognized players. You've got a play from the Crows.
Yeah, ex-Magpie, Paul Seedsman. So he's played 118 games, played 48 of those for the Pies. This year he's averaging 96 SuperCoach points, which is, I think, a career high. So that's with his 25 disposal per game average as well. He goes a bit under the radar. He's 29 years old, so he's in that sort of sweet spot in his career. Maybe a little bit on the experience side. But he's still got a couple of good years of experience of years left in him. And he just that hardened, hard-running player also brings a bit of energy to the young Crows team. So he's fourth in uncontested possessions in the league and sixth for total inside 50. So he's you're doing a lot, like providing run and being effective with the ball. And he kicked a couple of really nice goals on the weekend as well. Did you see that?
Yeah, one off, one step, I think, outside of 50. I saw that one.
Yeah, he's got a cannon. He's up there with Trent McKenzie. To support his run and carry game, he's fourth for total bounces. So I think he's been a really good recruit for Hawthorn. A little bit in and out of the side, but I think he's played all the games this year, so he's doing well.
Yeah, him and Brody Smith are definitely weapons off halfback.
Yep. And you've got a Sydney Swan.
Yeah, so Harry Cunningham, so 27 years old. He's played 142 games, which is a bit surprising when I looked at the stats. So 2012 rookie pick, which is a great result for any rookie to play 100-plus games. Speeds his strength, and he's played back midfield and forward for the Swans. Played every game this year as well for an 8-4 team, for a team that's, locked into the top eight. Ranked elite for tackles, above average of pressure acts, but I think it's just, he's just a great role player. Not going to get into coaches' votes or anything like that, but, one of those players that's, always going to get picked and do a job.
Yeah, a very Sydney Swans player, isn't he?
Yeah, 100% dour and, tough. So, with the tips, so what's the score line at the moment?
So you're four in front, we think.
We'll have to go back and audit this, I think.
Count back, yeah. But yeah, I've got a little bit of catching up to do, so kick it off with Port Adelaide versus Geelong. So I think we both did our tips. Do you always go for Port, or do you?
Yeah, I always go for Port now.
Well, I guess Port, they're a good team, so fair enough. Yeah, I'll back them as well, I think, because it's at home, and it's a game they need to win, so Port for me.
Yeah, so Swans hosting Hawthorn Friday night at the SCG. I've got the Swans. With no Hardigan, I think Buddy could kick it back. There's no matchup for him.
Yeah, hard to tip Hawthorn these days. I think the obvious choice is Sydney, especially up there. But we'll see. I think Hawthorn, they're due for a win sometime too. Might not be this week.
Fremantle hosting the Suns Saturday twilight at Optus.
This is a game I'm looking forward to after the Kangaroos game. Do you know why?
Because you love watching the Suns.
Matthew Rowell's playing.
Oh, is he back? Is he?
It's apparently, yeah.
Okay, he's got clear. Like,
I'm in. So, if Rowell's back, where is it? Optus. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go the Gold Coast Suns. I think injury ravaged Freo.
Yeah.
If Five doesn't play, they won't win.
Yeah, I think, yes, Suns for me too. So the Rail probably, makes that tip a bit stronger. So the Saints hosting Adelaide Saturday night at Kazali Stadium.
Oh, I'm going to go Adelaide just because they've been good. They haven't been winning last couple of weeks, but they've still been ultra competitive. And St Kilda, again, it's not. They were in Sydney and then they have to go back. They've got to go up to the NT. All right. Where is it? Stadium.
Yeah, because I said, I think, Northern Territory, Darwin, I think it is.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Yeah. But,
I think the Adelaide Crows will win this.
Yeah, okay. I've got the Saints because, didn't trust them last week, but trust them this week. So, can't perform 2 weeks in a row. Brews versus GWS Sunday Arvo at Bloodstone Arena.
Yeah, it would be an upset if the Roos did win this. Don't see it happening with the Giants engine room. So, Giants by maybe about 24 points.
Yeah, got smashed by the Lions last outing. So, wouldn't be surprised if the Roos get close, but I think GWS is just too deep. West Coast versus Richmond Sunday night at Optus Stadium, maybe the game of the round.
Yeah, this is interesting all of a sudden after West Coast's big win. But I think Richmond just going to be, it looks like their hunger's back and they knew they had to win that game against Essendon, otherwise top four becomes a little bit harder. West Coast, a little bit up and down, so I think Richmond will get over the line.
Okay, I've got the Eagles at home. It's more of a wanting them to win than thinking they're going to win because I think Tigers really need to win this if they're any top four chance. So, two different already. And to close around, Melbourne versus Collingwood Queen's Birthday at the SCG for the Big Freeze MND game.
Yeah, I guess Collingwood's win makes it a little bit more interesting, but Melbourne should be way too good. You're looking at the best team at the moment against one of the poorer teams. So, Melbourne to get the job done.
Yeah, I think after they dropped the Crows game, they've just been a bit ruthless. And interesting to see how May and Lever go against the smaller forward line of the Pies. But it'd be a good watch anyway. And for the Pies, we've got Brisbane, Carlton, Bulldogs and Essendon.
Yeah, only four teams because they moved the game. They brought that West Coast Richmond game forward. Yeah, so that should be a good round. But, we'll leave it there and... Yeah, hopefully we come out of lockdown.
Yeah, next time next week and we'll have some game reviews to discuss too. So
thanks guys.
See you next week.